tide is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. A good Tuesday. Almost the week before. Well, it is a week, not almost. It is a week before Holy Week. So
already.
Anyway, welcome. Tony, you got up at 3 o'clock, or you were up? No, yeah, I'm sorry. You worked until 3 in the morning.
I was, yeah.
Christina said you're kind of under the weather today. I can see.
It's always me. That's the
what
way
happened.
It always, well, no, I mean, we went at the funeral yesterday, and you know, it's beautiful, beautiful time. I mean, to say that about a funeral, I mean, it's just beautiful.
That was I forgot that you guys were longtime friends too.
Yeah.
You know, Eloisa Arroyo. A woman who suffered a lot, you know, that's the thing. And I made mention of this at the, by the way, welcome everybody. I'm Father Anthony, and I share your distress in the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. We're here in the studio of the Winds of Change at the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish in the heart of Chicago on a beautiful day. It seems to me, I don't know, I haven't been out yet
because
I've been
working
here, but it's...
It's very nice out there.
Nice?
Florida followed me back here.
Florida.
So that's why.
Were you down in Florida?
Yeah, I just got back from a weekend vacation.
Oh, good for you. That's why you got a little bit of sun there.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah, on my arms, too, if you can see.
Hey,
we were at the beach, my parents and I, and I didn't put sunscreen on, but I always say it to myself, you owe it to yourself in the summer to get a little, you know... color tan or stuff
you
like that.
You better believe
so, you know,
it,
I try to get that way. So, yeah, but I was really excited to be out in the ocean and the water.
Wow.
And then my brother and his wife came down on Saturday and spent the Sunday with them and a little bit of yesterday and flew back last night.
Well, good for you. You deserve it, Nick.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had a great time, and my folks are still down there, and my brother and his wife Andrea are down there, too.
Because your mom's they're on break now, right?
The Easter
break.
Many different
she teaches
schools
in a public school.
So many different schools on different break periods.
Right.
So
that's
it works out. And I was happy to be home yesterday. Sad to leave yesterday,
sure.
But happy to be home and be with the cats, too. So it went really good.
Well, you and Christina. And your cats.
And
my mother.
My poor cats. They're gone.
Well, I had a friend watching over them, so they were taken care of. It just feels good to be with them, you know. And I think they were a little upset that we were gone. And, you know, after a while, they start warming up to you. And then, you know, it's kind of old routine again. But
they try to warm up to me, but I just can't warm up to them for some
reason. They love me. They love me. So, but still, it's great to be back here and working and stuff.
Good. Good for you. What?
But it was a fun trip, and it was a lot of fun. Went out to dinner a few places, to some places my parents recommended and they've been to before, and I'm trying to think, went to the beach, went in the pool and the hot tub sometimes, which was nice, relaxed.
Nice.
Went to a flea market on Sunday and found some cool stuff, and an awesome comic shop that Tony would love to be in too as well.
Going
so that was a lot of fun. I found some stuff I can't find anywhere.
Stop it already, Nick. You're making us feel bad, you know.
He's actually making me feel a little bit.
You see, I don't get vacations that much. So that's why. I don't get vacation time.
Misery loves company,
so
you know. We have to have miserable people over here. You know, that's why we like Tony.
But no, it was a great trip. It was a great
trip. Good. I'm happy to hear that. That's good for you. I didn't know you were going. That's great. Christina, we've just been slaving over here, haven't we?
Goodness.
Just working hard.
Wow. Extremely tired, but it was worth it. It's
yesterday
all worth
was a beautiful, it was a very, very busy day. I was just talking about
the funeral.
Eloisa, you know, it's strange, you know, we talk about the beauty of a funeral, but it's a sad time, you know, and it's very hard for the family. In
it
fact,
is.
They were, I don't know how they do it, because they had a 2-day wake, and then they had, we had the funeral in the morning, and they had to go to the cemetery, and then they came back for the confirmation.
That's right.
In the evening, I saw a couple of the members of the family, and I said, you guys just must be exhausted, and they are.
They were
exhausted. They're so tired.
And if we're exhausted, even more so them, because they just had a loss in the family. Just, because, so that's draining. Yeah,
absolutely. Extremely draining. Mm-hmm.
And it was really humbling for me, because I just, to fit right back in, I feel like I never, you know, for the longest time, because we grew up together.
Sure.
We are family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think for the first time, one of the first times in my life, I'm realizing what family really is.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
When you talk about, you know, we as a family of faith, a family of believers, to step right back in.
Sure.
It's just, it was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It really was.
Yeah. You know, I was, and I think I made mention of this yesterday at the Mass, but it just, you know, it just amazes me, you know, when you, first of all, time has just gone so fast.
I've
known the family 24 years mm-hmm. since I came here, but I was thinking, you know, we've had baptisms and Holy Communions and confirmations and weddings and now the funeral. Of Eloisa, a sacred farewell, you know, and just all the stuff, and to see the kids and her children and then their children, and they've got big families, you know.
That's a huge family.
You know, so there's nine grandchildren. She had
there
nine
is.
Grandchildren.
And there's only two siblings.
Two siblings, and they both have, and good kids.
They are.
Really good kids.
You could see
I remember them as little babies, and to see grown men, handsome-looking men looking at you, it's like,
that's
I
right.
felt so old. I really did.
No, I guess so. Well, look at me. You know, I'm a generation above you. But...
Then I was thinking of you. No.
No, for sure.
It was
but
really
even
humbling.
Even at the wakes, because I know you and your wife Angelica were mm-hmm. at the whole weekend. Even on Friday, she mentioned they were over the house
Them. And it's the flood of everything.
The family.
It's funny how you just you kind of move on. You go through life, but then moments bring you back.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, this is what it's really all about.
Yes. Well, you know, these are the sacramental moments of our lives when everything mm-hmm. kind of comes back together, and just I don't know if you want to call them a little epiphanies or these little respites maybe mm-hmm. Along the way where we have to pause, we stop, we come together, and we're reminded. Mm-hmm. It's the remembering, right? Where have we been? Where are we? Now, where are we going? Mm-hmm. And of course, Elizabeth married into both of them.
The both families are big.
Elizabeth and Hector both
Hector.
Married. There were two.
Well, I must say, Hector is an avid listener. He's listening
I hope he is. He better be listening, you know. But no, he's a good guy. I told him yesterday, I said, and it's true, and I've been watching this over the years, because they were in our school. Mm-hmm. I remember when he was mm-hmm. just a kid. And just seeing him at the Mass alongside his father, and I just thought, you know, like father, like son.
That's right.
And see his little son.
And in his son. And his little son.
Ivan, I told him, I want to call him little Hector. Is that his name?
Well, I asked him yesterday, why didn't you name him Hector? He says, there's too many Hectors already.
That's what I thought, but he is he's a spitting image.
He is. And so there we talked about men a lot, mm-hmm. you know.
That's right.
But there you see what I would call a traditional man,
exactly.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's a good thing to see, yes. you know,
yes.
it's a good thing to see. So the father, the son, and the grandson, mm-hmm. but they're just
for the generation.
There's something about the character you can mm-hmm. see. I said this, didn't I? I think on the radio a couple of weeks ago or something. But when I was in, if I were ever to be elected pope, you know, one of the things that I would like to do is separate the men from the women in the church. That's how which is politically totally incorrect to say, but I tell you, and I'm just saying it. But I when I was in Mexico, mm-hmm. it really impressed me. Yeah. And some of in Balcones, and mm-hmm. Even in one of the churches in Morelia, I saw mm-hmm. this. But the men and women were separated, and I tell you why I thought it was so impressive, because I was looking from the altar celebrating the Mass, and I looked out there, I saw the men with their sons, and the sons were standing like the fathers, you know, arms. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just this, and the fathers, you could see that, you know, they had a greater sense of, well, you know, this isn't the mother's job now, but it's my job to pass on the faith or to, you know, give witness to the faith and how to pray. And then you mm-hmm. had the women on the other side with their daughters. And it was just something, you know, I thought that was...
And that's beautiful.
There's a certain wisdom in that. Yeah.
To see the children... and see their parents as role models, because parents should be the
absolutely.
Role model.
I guess we don't look at that because mm-hmm. it looks like, okay, well, you can't tell us where to sit. You can't tell us where to separate.
Yeah.
But it is. It's so, like you said, I mean, you see the men with the sons. And
mm-hmm. Right. There's a wisdom there. There's a wisdom. But
even at the wake service, we went on Sunday, my dad and I, and Deacon Nick did the service, and it was packed, the family, to see people that were in the community growing
right.
up.
Right,
and
yeah.
They've scattered to Texas, Michigan, all over, but to see them coming together in support of the family. It's like you say, Father, it's faith and family, the two pillars.
I couldn't believe that. In fact, I keep calling her Gabriela, but what's Hector's daughter's name, the oldest?
Galilea.
Yeah, I keep calling her Gabriela.
She was confirmed yesterday.
I wonder if she took the name Gabriela for her. I don't know. Well, it's so close to Galilea, but that's a beautiful name, Galilea.
Galilea.
And she was confirmed, but I said, I can't believe it, because I remember when she was.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember before she was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, but.
Even like yesterday, Father. No, not yesterday, but Sunday. I'm just tired. There was a point in the service where the family gathered, the immediate family, Hector, the two Hectors, the father mm-hmm. and the son, the daughter and the grandchildren, stood around yeah. the casket up in front, and they were hugging each other, and they were supporting each other. And Lisbeth said some beautiful words about the mother, thanking her for being the woman that taught them how to love.
Sure.
For loving them and teaching them how to love and the faith and all the sacrifices that she made for the family. And it was so moving to hear her say that. And then the father, Hector Sr., he said, you know, let's give her a round of applause. Everybody applauded.
Well, that's amazing.
For being courageous, for being such a courageous woman. And then it was one of the grandchildren's birthday that day on Sunday. So they said, you know, it's hard, but you know, life goes on, and we were celebrating life, and here's one of her granddaughters, and the grandmother told her, I have something for you. And she said, I have it for you. I'm going to get it for you. And well, time ran out. And the father said, don't worry. She promised you, and I will make sure that promise is kept.
That's amazing.
So, but just to see the faith and the support of the family, it's all worth it.
That's beautiful. And it doesn't surprise me. It's just I was telling you yesterday, you know, just there's certain families when we come, and there's all this extended family. And
of course,
what we were saying, they both married into the Villegas family.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's a huge family. And they were very present there as well. And you saw, like you said, just the remembering going back into. This is the advantage to being in a parish a long time, you know, as a priest, you know, because I'm well beyond the time that I should have been gone a long time ago. You know, I mean, there's truthfully in this day and age, people are shocked when you're in a parish so long, but the some 24 years here but the advantage to that is you see I remember visiting Eloisa a long time when I first got here, you know. I even had Evie and Elizabeth. Yeah. Well, I had both their weddings.
You had their weddings as well.
Yeah,
that's right.
But but she had been sick for, you know, I say sick. I mean, she had she was very severe asthmatic, I think, you know, and I don't remember ever really seeing her when she didn't have some struggle breathing. But I had been to the hospital in different places at different times when she, and I was just a couple of months ago, I think it was, she was in the hospital, and I had the time at that point to be with her. And she told me her whole life story. It's just quite incredible. And she had a brother who was a seminarian who died as a seminarian. He was in a car accident. I think it was a car accident. He died in a rather tragic way. And but she herself, you know, she, as sick as she was and she had been, you know, always struggling, you know, just grasping, you know, just to be with somebody who's grasping for air. And by the way, she didn't die. She died suddenly. It was an unexpected death. You know, she died
at home.
Thank God. At least she was at home. But
that's
it was unexpected.
Right.
So that comes as always a shock to the family. You know, but in any case, I was mentioned at the homily, and it was just so beautiful. The gospel on Sunday, because I spoke about that on Sunday at the Mass, and then it was the raising Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he had to die again. And this is all in Jesus is moving towards the holy city where he's going to offer his life in atonement for sin. He'll die that definitive death and rise from the dead and bring us, all of us will eventually, you know, pass through the door of death to rise with him, but not to die again. You know, so Lazarus was risen from the dead, but he had to die again. But the thing that struck me, well, there's a couple of things, you know. First of all, because the gospel speaks about all the Jews, you know, gathering to console Mary and Martha at the death of their brother. Now, Jesus had heard that that he was sick, and he purposely didn't go to Bethany because he knew that he wanted that God's glory be made manifest. This was the sixth of the seven signs in John's gospel. The final sign would be Jesus' own resurrection from the dead. And so he waited until he knew that Lazarus was dead. He had died. And then he went, and of course he, you know, the Jews were there consoling Martha and Mary. He was friends. He was very much, very close to Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. These were, in the gospel, we know these to be his personal friends. Mm-hmm. And in any case, he went, and the people, they kept remarking how much he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Because he even wept. Jesus wept as Mary came out to him. He wept, and he was perturbed. He was moved by the grief of the people. And so even knowing that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he wept. You know, it's a whole other question as to why that happened, why he was weeping. Well, because he was human. His humanity mm-hmm. was caught up in the emotions of the people. But also he sees down through history, and he sees all of us. You know, we have to pass this way because we're not condemned to be here forever. We're lovers of life because life is a gift. But we're not condemned to this place of sickness and sin. And in fact, his own death is what is to set us free from dominion, that we're not be under the dominion of Satan, nor under the dominion of sin, nor under the dominion of death. But anyway, the point that I wanted to make was when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he says, you know, remove the stone from the place where he's buried, and they remove the stone. And he just commanded, he said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out, and he was bound in the burial bands, you know. And Jesus said to the people, go and untie him and let him go. And I read a different gospel at the funeral mass, but as I was sitting there waiting, as listening to the other readings, I thought of Eloisa, and I thought of this Lazarus, who had risen from the dead, been raised from the dead, and the burial bands were mm-hmm. released. You know, they take those off him that he, because this is his hands, his feet, and his face, his mouth, where everything he was covered in those burial bands, Lazarus, and I thought of Eloisa, that when she passed through the door of death. And for us, as I mentioned, yes, it's really just a passing from one room into another. She doesn't have the experience of death. We have the experience mm-hmm. of death because we're this side of death. So the family, they experience that. She has only the experience of life because she passes from one room into the next, from this life into the next. Mm-hmm. And but that, you know, now after so many, 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 many years, I mean, from the time she was a child— suffering this rather severe
the breathing
asthma, yeah. mm-hmm. That she could finally breathe freely, mm-hmm. freely, you know. I remember even thinking about that when my aunt and uncle died. I had two sets of aunts and uncles who were, they couldn't see nor hear. I mean, no, they couldn't speak nor hear. I don't know what they call that today because it used to be deaf and mute, mm-hmm. deaf and mute. And I thought that in their own dying, how the and then a couple of them eventually became blind by the time they at the end of their lives. So there was blind, mute, and deaf. And but in death, I mean deaf, right? Mm-hmm. Blind, yeah. Mute, and deaf. But in death, that the eyes are opened, the ears are opened. You know, it's the great freedom that mm-hmm. comes. You know, and as I mentioned, I've mentioned here before too, that when the church celebrates the feast of a saint, more often than not, unless there's a major feast already, but they'll choose the day for the feast day of the saint on the day of that saint's death, because that's death is their birthday into heaven, you know. And but anyway, it's this is reality, and it's a very moving kind of an experience, you know, for everybody. Not easy, but there's no despair. As you said, the people could gather, like the family could gather, because they're people of faith.
That's right.
And they can, and they've got each other. We have each other. You know, this is again going back to the gospel, how everybody was there. It's just nothing new under the sun. It mm-hmm. still is the case. But when you've got that added element of faith, you know, and Jesus, you know, that's the other thing too. Jesus in the midst of the people. So it's just the whole raising of Lazarus, the whole scene even preceding the raising of Lazarus from the dead. You've got all these people, and you've got the grief, and you've got the people consoling one another. And then Jesus comes into the midst of all that. I mean, that's an image of the church, you know. So Jesus is in the midst of his people, and yet we have this great capacity because, again, Lazarus' own death, he had to die again, was a prelude to the resurrection of Jesus, who doesn't die again, but who shows us that death is not the end, and that we see beyond the cross into the glory and the light of the resurrection. And so he can, with confidence, Jesus in his resurrection, say to everybody, as he does, those are his first words, we'll hear this in a couple of weeks, but fear not, don't be afraid, you have nothing to fear, be at peace. What the world takes away, God will give back. You know, the things have changed, but the family is separated in a sense, in a real sense, but the family is a family. The mother is the mother. The grandmother is a grandmother. She may have passed on, but that doesn't take away the fact that she is, you know, mother, grandmother, wife, sister, neighbor, friend, right? Mm-hmm. So that along with the confirmation we celebrated, mm-hmm. and with the wonderful presence of Bishop Rojas, Alberto Rojas, who, by the way, listens to our radio from time to time, we found out.
Yes. Like,
he actually quoted some things that were said last week on the radio, you know, and he's such a genuine, wonderful bishop, a good priest, a good man, and it's always a blessing and a pleasure to have him with us. So, and you know, just seeing the young people as they came for confession, I'm always moved by that, because here again, it's one of these respites mm-hmm. in the journey. When we pause and we remember, you know, who we are, where we've come from, and where we need to go, as we so often get assaulted and we deviate, you know, because we forget. That's why people, I'll tell you, out there listening, and, you know, this is something we want to share with our family members, if we can re-inculcate or teach the need for the discipline of the faith, and I'm talking about discipline in worship, you know, that we don't just decide we're going to go to Mass, you know, when we think we need it, or when we, or, you know, maybe we're, no, but that this become part of our life, that we don't renege on the sacraments, you know, baptism, Holy Communion, confirmation, you know, you've got the quinceañeras, you got the marriage, priesthood, you've got death, you know, mm-hmm. the liturgy there, the sacred farewell. I mean, it's because we're people on the go. We're going. We're on the way. We're going somewhere. So I just, again, marvel at the gift, the wonder, the beauty of the faith, you know.
And I like what Bishop said yesterday. He had their attention, and he said, don't just stop here. You know, keep coming.
Exactly.
You need to keep coming and to keep Christ in your heart so that when you go out there, you could bring that love of Christ.
Hey, you know what he said, which was very, mm-hmm. I thought it was very interesting. I hadn't heard it explained this way. Mm-hmm. It was very simple, which is the way it should be. because he said, you know, you've completed the sacraments of initiation.
That's right. Yes,
and
yes.
Initiation is a beginning. That means it's a beginning of the journey. Mm-hmm. Really, the full-fledged members of the full-fledged. I mean, you've got the responsibility. Mm-hmm. You begin to bear this responsibility. This is bear the responsibility. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about you, but it's about, you know, your contribution, your participation in this work of the church, right? The work of the church, the church's mission, missionary disciples. All right. Anyway, but it was heavy day. Light and heavy at the mm-hmm. same time. It was just, there was so much coming off the weekend and all that. But I tell you, just at the end of it all, you just say, thank God. I just thank God for the Catholic faith. I mean specifically, because it's also part of this universal, traditional, living tradition, universal. It's a beautiful thing. And to be able to point to the images of the saints and say, but these are, you know, this does not make common sense, you know. When people say, you know, you people, you get your saints, the images and all that, and it's all about God. It's, you know, the fact is, if you just use common sense, mm-hmm. I mean, what is natural to the human person is that we're part of a family, as you started by saying, Tony, right? Mm-hmm. We're part of a family. Exactly. Mm-hmm. This is the mystical body of Christ, and these people who have gone before us, they're part of our family. That's part mm-hmm. of our identity. We look to them. We imitate. We applaud them. Right, as they were applauding mm-hmm. Eloise, yes. We applaud them. We thank them for having lived the faith, so that we could be here today. It just doesn't. Again, people just use common sense. Mm-hmm. Common sense. If we're in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that communion of three persons, a family of three persons, and God brings us into this family, then nothing is taken away from God. When we have present the images of this, and most especially the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, but no, it's just a full reminder of who we are, and again where we've come from, and because again, what it makes us aware of the fact that as we live our lives today, will affect, for good or for bad, those who come after us.
Yes,
and if we're safeguarding, preserving, sinners that we are, you know, because every family, we got ups and downs, and we got the, you know, storms that come and storms that go, and, you know, but like Jesus said, and I always go back to this, he says that there are the foolish people and the wise people. He says the foolish people, they build their house on sand, and he said the rain comes and the wind blows and the house falls, there's no foundation. The wise build on rock, meaning himself. He's referring to himself, that we build on God. And he says, yes, the rain is going to come and the wind is going to blow, but the house, it will not collapse because it has a firm, rock-solid foundation. And again, it's for this reason that we're not condemned to be here forever, because we're set to be, in a definitive way, set free from the place of distress and trial and tribulation and where there is evil ever present and sickness and sin and all that kind of stuff, you know. And yet, because we know where we're going, ours is not an escape, as people would say, well, Christians, it's an escape from. No, it's, we're in reality. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, as you look at these people, or like we talk about the family there, but this commitment to each other, husband to wife, you know, father to mother. Father to mother, husband mm-hmm. to wife, mother to, you know, children mm-hmm. to their parents, yeah, and all this kind of right. stuff.
We're all in it together.
Mm-hmm. And from the union of this man and woman come forth children,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
Anyway, that's going to probably lead us into some of this other stuff. I've actually got a lot here. We're not going to get into a lot of it, but we'll come back to it certainly later, because it's quite interesting. But let's take a break, and then we'll kind of shift gears a little bit, but it's all related. Mm-hmm. It's all related. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, and I invite you to join me on the Light of the East pilgrimage to Rome and Istanbul to celebrate the canonization of Popes John Paul II and John XXIII. In addition to celebrating the sainthood of two world-renowned popes, this trip will be a powerfully moving and truly unforgettable experience of the Church breathing with both lungs, East and West. We will visit major religious and historical sites of the ancient Roman and Byzantine empires, and you will hear from people who actually knew these two saintly popes. I guarantee you will never see the Church the same way again, and you will be making your personal contribution toward the cause in which these two popes were committed, unity in the Church between East and West.
Join Father Loya Tuesday through Thursday, October 21st through October 30th, for this spiritual event of a lifetime, the pilgrimage to Rome and Istanbul. Limited spaces, reserve early by going to VikingTVL.com. That's VikingTVL.com. For all the details, October 21st through the 30th, sponsors Orientale Lumen Foundation and Viking Travel.
We're in the penitential season of Lent, as we contemplate and participate in the three pillars of Lent: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. The Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at St. Stanislaus Kostka is open so that you may place yourself before the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. Stations of the Cross are held in English and Spanish on Fridays after 7 p.m. Mass, followed by the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. On Sundays, Stations of the Cross will be in Spanish at 4:30 p.m. Come to St. Stan's this Lenten season, corner of Noble and Evergreen, one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy Expressway, St. Stanislaus Kostka. Christ is waiting. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Did you know that God constructed women's arms differently than men's? I am Father Thomas Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. The axis of a woman's outstretched arms angles inward at the elbow, whereas in men, the axis is straighter. This enables women to bring things to themselves easier than men. Everything about a woman's body, her mind, heart, and soul, is designed for connectedness and to bring the world close to her heart. The language of her body says that God is close, tender, and loving. But she also has what John Paul II called a genius. It is her gift of receptivity, stamped in the very design of her body. The Pope said that this makes woman the archetype of the human race because God designed the human race simply to receive His love. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody, and yes, we're on.
Yes, you are.
We're
doing
back.
Really good. You're on and you're feeling. I can't rhyme anything right there. I can't.
You're doing the karaoke now? Is that what you're doing?
Well, it's today anyway. Tonight.
Is it all tonight?
With, I might add, it relates to your discussion, my lifelong friends too, and my sense of a second family.
There you
with
go.
Everybody.
Yeah.
So I know exactly how you feel with that too. And I forgot to mention just on a
They're going
to
be
note,
jealous, by the way. You go in there with your tan and all.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know a lot of people are probably going to look at me and be like, oh, man. My friend Kimmy was saying when I told her where I was, she's like, you suck, because, you know, she was like, you know, saying that because she was so jealous. She wanted to go down there, too. And all my friends are, you know, probably going to be jealous, too. Yeah. Some of them went on
you
vacation.
Like that,
other
don't
trips.
You?
I like that, a little Nick. Bit. I
but,
think
you know, it was cool, and we had a good time. I forgot to mention.
It was cool. No,
about
it should be hot down there. Oh, cool.
All right. It was awesome. Let's put it that way. But I tried grouper down there, too, as a grouper sandwich.
Oh,
and that was
pretty
good.
Oh, good. Yeah,
because everybody kept talking about, you know, where we were at in Clearwater, where the place is, and they mentioned, you know, having grouper a lot.
That's right.
So I thought I might try some, and it was pretty good. I recommend it grilled, actually. Mm.
You can go down the just down the street here at Isaacson's. Mm-hmm. I think it's. I'm assuming they're still there, right off Halstead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
And near the Greek town, and they've got. You can get it right out of the Gulf
yeah,
of Mexico.
Yeah, I hear you, but it's not the same down
it's
up here.
Oh
as
no,
it is
no,
in Florida,
no, no,
you
no,
know?
But of course, yeah. But no, you want to
some next time.
Still, it was a great trip, and also listening to what you're talking about, all of my best friends, you know, it feels like a second family and what you're related to talking about, too.
Better believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, family and friends, right? That's what's needed. You lose one or the other, you lose everything, you know? At the same time, the scripture says at the end of your life, if you can really count on how many, and on one hand, how many friends you've had, consider yourself especially blessed. Yeah. I think what we do is in life, we learn that our true friend is... Is God,
it's God,
the Lord, is, you know, that he's with us all the way, you know, even when we're far away, he's right there.
And when you think of like best friends, I mean, I always, God put them in my path. You know, I feel especially with, you know, Hector and the Royals, I've always felt like family.
Sure. Well, you guys grew up together.
I'm blown away with the fact that, you know, time goes by.
Sure.
And we don't see each other as, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it just, you know, on occasion we may see each other in church, passing and going, you know.
Yeah.
But the fact to sit down and break bread and, you know, just be with people again, I feel like I just, nothing changed.
Yeah.
Years didn't go
that's
by.
That's right, that's right.
It's
well,
like
that's a good
just
sign.
Just the other day.
You know, it's just,
it's good sign. You just pick up where you left off.
Even like my friend, the day of my friend Nelly, who, it was interesting that her mother's anniversary, death anniversary, that's the same day that Eloisa Arroyo passed away.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So she said, oh, because she came and
I told her,
she said, oh, my mother's anniversary. And we went out to eat. And again, we don't see each other. She lives far.
Right.
She has her family. I'm busy over here at the parish. This is my family too.
Yeah.
So she said, even though we don't talk to each other every day or we don't see each other, we're family. She says, you're always there for me when I need you, when it counts, and that means a lot to me. And she said you're like my sister. And I said, well, you're the sister I never had.
My mom is like that with my godmother, who is one of her best friends too, and she became my godmother and her husband my godfather too, and they're like family as well.
Sure.
They've been put in there, and just like what Christina was saying, she feels like the other sister she never had too.
Sure,
and she
sure.
feels like a sister to it too, because she tries to talk to her at least once a week, and she lives down in Arizona, so I know how you feel. And I agree with what Christina's saying too, with how, you know, my friends and I, you know, we don't talk to each other during the week because we're all so busy.
Right.
But we're
right.
always there for one another. Mm-hmm. And we have been we have been a lot.
Good for you. No, that's people are about into the work of life. I just wanted, as you're talking, I'm feeling guilty here because, I wonder if my cousin Darlene is listening, because I have to say, you know,
perhaps,
I hope, but I'm praying for you, Darlene, you know, so she knows what that's all about. I got an email from her last week, and I just didn't get back. You know, I'm thinking they get buried like everything else. But but that was one of the things, too. We had just brought all the cousins together around Christmas time and hadn't really seen each other, you know, since, it's been many years that we were all together like that, because everybody's scattered everywhere. And but it is. It's like you pick up where you leave off. And, you know, that's it's nice.
Yeah, it's good to, when everybody, you haven't seen each other for a long time. That's how it feels with me and all my best friends, too, from karaoke, is that we're all scattered around. But yet when we are at either my house or everybody's apartments, you know, it's a time to reconnect, and we all get together with each other and talk about what we've all been through and, you know, get a chance to see each other again, and it's great.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Very good. Hey, so I don't forget, because I think we're going to have some guests on
Thursday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I talked to who's coming? I don't know.
The St. Gregory
Nestor
prayer
and
group.
Lynn and Gloria perhaps? And Jorge.
Yes.
Lemos. But there's a Holy Spirit renewal recollection retreat recollection in preparation for Holy Week. So this would be a nice thing for people who want to have a nice spiritual preparation for Holy Week in a nice way, you know, what I'm trying to say, in a kind of a succinct way, or because I mean we're in the it's next week. Palm Sunday is this coming Sunday,
but in any case,
there's going to be this preparation for Holy Week. It's called Holy Spirit Renewal Recollection, and that's going to be at St. Gregory the Great Parish. We'll talk about that on Thursday, but the Father Robert Miller will be. He's a pastor and an author, and Dr. Mark Nemo, international evangelist, among other great speakers. And that'll be April the 12th, so that's this coming
Saturday,
8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So at St. Gregory the Great Parish, and that's 1677 West Bryn Mawr. Bryn Mawr?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you say it. Bryn Mawr. Okay.
Bryn Mawr.
Bryn Mawr. Is that what you say?
Bryn Mawr.
Yeah.
People say it the way they want to say it.
Gosh, now where do we go?
With. During. I mean, it's the same.
Well, I've got a number of things. Let me just, because we're not going to have time to cover all this, but, well, let me just see what I can do. Just to see what happens, where it goes. But I'll put it out there. So I was reading this morning an 89-year-old British woman. think about this. She did something. She said she was fed up with the modern world of emails, TVs, computers, and supermarket. She was she's a former art teacher, a Royal Navy engineer. She said she had enough of swimming against the current of the world. She described her life as full with so many adventures and tremendous independence. And she says, you know, people say you adapt or you die. She says, at my age, I feel that I can't adapt because the new age is not an age that I grew up to understand. I see everything as cutting corners. All the old-fashioned ways of doing things have gone. She feels that email had taken the humanity out of human interaction, mm-hmm. and said people were becoming robots in front of their computer screens. And she described her horror at the rows of ready-made meals on sale in market and supermarkets, and fears about environmental impact of overcrowding and pollution. She says, I just find myself swimming against the current, and you can't do that. And so if you can't join them, get off. So what did she do?
Killed herself.
She killed herself.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh.
So I'm...
Oh, boy. Yeah.
It's sad.
I mean, that's kind of... which
extreme.
Tells you something about, number one.
I'm just listening to what you're saying, and two friends of mine went through something like that ordeal, meaning that they knew somebody that felt the same way and committed suicide, too, so I know exactly what you mean.
But see, that's... The problem with this is... You know, we're all dealing with these pressures. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where, going back to what we were talking about, the importance of family and friends and faith.
Faith. That's right.
You know, this is what we're getting ready to celebrate next week is Jesus who will make his way down the road to Calvary, you know, crucifixion, death, and resurrection. Mm-hmm. He'll take to himself our sins. To show us that, you know, we're in the work of life. You just talk about that, right? Because mm-hmm. we've, you know, we get these respites where we can gather together in good times and bad mm-hmm. times, but sometimes it's just those times that we come together, you know, for weddings and for holy communions and baptisms and, you know, birthdays and death and all that. You know, that's when we gather together. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, you know, we're in the work of life. Everybody's, you know, we're trying mm-hmm. and everybody's carrying their own crosses as well. Mm-hmm. But we have the strength of the faith in each other, and that there's something good about even the suffering and the sacrifice that we have to make. And by the way, speaking of Eloisa, that was the other thing too I wanted to mention is that for all her suffering, you know, for all that. She was a woman who kept the faith, mm-hmm. who kept the mm-hmm. faith and offered it, you know. She it was a sharing the sufferings of Jesus, you know. Think of him, you know, breathing on the cross, you know, his own inability to breathe freely, you know. But if we don't have faith, you know, mm-hmm. then it's easy to just say, yeah, aside from the fact that there are people who have some very severe psychological problems and all that. Anyway, the point of the story was that she went to an assisted facility in Switzerland where it's legal, where you can do this.
Euthanasia.
They walk you through
Wow.
We don't espouse that at all.
And I know Jerry's listening. She's not here with us.
By the way, yeah.
Yeah, Jerry's, I know she's listening.
Because we don't, I guess I didn't really miss it. I didn't realize she wasn't here, you know, so.
She was so quiet.
Just flew in as always.
Yeah,
no, I meant to acknowledge her absence in the beginning.
It's been hectic, mm-hmm. but I know that she would agree with the lady as far as the email and all the technology.
Yeah.
And she says that what matters to her and what keeps her going is the faith, the going to Mass every day, the Holy Eucharist.
Exactly,
And the family support that she has from the faith family here, the church.
I guess it's very easy to give in to despair. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the easiest thing to do. And again, if somebody has mental problems, it's one thing. But even someone that feels, I have no one, I'm alone, mm-hmm. You know, no one loves me, no one cares for me. It's that absence of God, really, that absence of God. Because you could never say that. You could never say that if God was really somebody that you had faith.
And that's mm-hmm. why what the bishop was saying yesterday. And I had the children's prayer, doing confessions this week, and I always ask them, you know, because you can't, I say, can't emphasize enough the importance of prayer. Mm-hmm. And not just saying the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Glory Be, you know, or the Rosary. You know, this is all beautiful. This is important. Please, it's very important. But to have, but to live in this, with this kind of disposition, that just, you know, keep the heart receptive to the indwelling presence of God, that you're not alone. Because this is, you know, even with family and friends and all that, we still have, you know, these loneliness is part of life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Depression is part of life. Suffering is just part of life. It's just the way it is.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, you got it.
We've all gone through our own, you know, I hate to say personal, but our own stressful and difficult times.
Sure.
But
mm-hmm.
I try to remain optimistic even when I get depressed.
Yeah, you go to Florida. You get up and go to Florida.
Usually it does. Usually things, you know, or pretty much things work out. And, you know, I agree with Tony saying, having faith is helpful as well.
Well, it's the primary.
Yeah.
Because God said, you know, and it's true, that for those who love God, all things mm-hmm. work for the good. But it doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, the church isn't going to deceive anybody.
No.
And Jesus doesn't deceive anybody, nobody, because he says, you know, and again, going his farewell discourse, the last words he spoke before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, after he celebrated the Last Supper, instituted the Holy Eucharist, he said, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have troubles in this world. Sorry to say, but you're going to have troubles. And he said, you're going to be persecuted. As the world has hated me, the world is going to hate you. You know, Jesus said it, the road, it's a difficult path. It's a narrow path, a narrow road. Pick up your cross. But he says also, I am with you to lighten the burden or the weight of the cross. And that's why he founded the church, so that we would be that support for each other. But the root of it all is our faith,
mm-hmm.
our faith, and to think, and it's arrogance and pride to think that we can do it without faith, or that faith is somehow secondary, or that God is, you know, kept on the back burner or relegated to his heaven beyond the beyond, and we'll pull him out when we want to, mm-hmm. right? No, it's to, if I can bring these young people, for instance, who are going to confession, because they're living in a strange world. I mean, believe me, really. And if I could bring them to just already, you know, so mm-hmm. when they say, do you pray? Well, sometimes, well, how, you can't just go through life sometimes praying. So you've got to already begin to nurture and cultivate this relationship with God. I think the bishop was making reference to that yesterday. So it's not just, you know, at the end of the day, you say your prayer, but it's to be conscious of God. Mm-hmm. You know, talk to him as you would talk to a friend. He abides in you. He abides within you. If you're baptized, you have, you know, the Spirit within you. The God is there. And so learn to, I asked a question, didn't I, the other day, and I thought it was a rather profound question, you know, coming from me. Right now, I'm just joking. but I thought it was, you know, it occurred to me as I was talking. I hadn't thought about that. You know, sometimes that's why it's good. I don't like to take notes up to the ambo, because I like to try to,
just like the Pope, right?
Yeah, exactly. We got something in common there, you know. But no, I'm serious, because, you know, it's amazing when you just kind of empty yourself in a mm-hmm. way and let the Lord lead, you know. It may not be as refined or as polished or as formal as some people may like, but it's real. And mm-hmm. It occurred to me as I was reading the gospel and as I was talking, you know, that, again, Jesus, Martha, everybody knew. That, because he had been to Bethany before, and he had been the guest of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And they would even say, you know, when they brought him the news that Lazarus was sick, they said, your friend, mm-hmm. Lazarus is sick, the one you love, you know? Mm-hmm. So people knew that he had a friendship with Lazarus, with Mary, and with Martha. Now, could the others have had the same friendship? They could have.
Mm-hmm.
They could have. But the point is that, you know, as we, I'd ask the question, because, again, when he goes to Bethany, he goes to their home, the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So I said, if Jesus were to come to Chicago today, if he were, now he's mm-hmm. with us, right? He's among us. But again, it's, what did he say the night before he died? Better that I go so that I can stay with you. I'm not going to leave you orphans, but I must go to the Father, so that the Father and I will send the Spirit, so that we can abide within you, dwell within you, be among you, come to you through the Word of God and through the teachings of the Church and through the sacraments of the Church. And even in Holy Eucharist and the Holy Communion, we have this very intimate encounter. It goes beyond what we can feel. It's something that a mystery that we delve into without depending on feelings. We're not going to be under the dominion of our feelings, but under the dominion of Christ Jesus. So he's with us. But I suggest, you know, I was saying, you know, if Jesus were to come today in the flesh as he did 2,000 years ago, the question for everybody, as I ask myself, he's coming to Chicago, would he come to my house? Would he go to your house? Would he go to your house, Tony, or Christina, or Nick? Would he go to your house? You know, in other words, does he know, like Capernaum, you know, mm-hmm. Capernaum. He set up his headquarters in Capernaum. Why in Capernaum? Because he knew they loved him there. And so he set up his headquarters in Capernaum. Now, even there, towards the end, they begin to reject him. But if you were to come to Chicago, or wherever you are listening, would he go to your house? In other words, do we create the space, a place, give him a place in our homes, in our hearts? It's a very important question. And that's what I want the children to begin to do already. That's why I said the prayer is important, because what you do is you're building relationship. You're beginning to, you know how it is when we've been talking about family and friends and all that, but, you know, in the beginning, you know, there's a bit of a kind of an awkwardness or something. You may be attracted to somebody in friendship or whatever, but, or you may admire somebody, whatever, but there's some of this awkwardness. But the more you walk with somebody, the more you get to know them, and you begin to love them, and you begin to, you know, find yourself there's a level of comfort mm-hmm, you have mm-hmm. in the company of certain people. And you can, as Nick was saying, you can count on them.
Mm-hmm.
You can count on them. And so maybe that's the question. Can Jesus count on us? Can he know, does he know that, okay, I can go to your home because I know that the door's open and that you receive me as a friend. You receive me as a brother. This is a very important question, because the Jews marveled at that. They said they marveled at the fact that he loved these people so much, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They knew that, and it doesn't seem among our own people, you know. There are those who, we can all say that. We know, I always say it goes back to how do we speak about Jesus, you know. Let's go back to the blind man, born blind. Jesus gave him his sight. Jesus went on. The Pharisees, they came and they began to harass the man because his sight was restored on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. And so the miracle was really just already looking for a way to trap Jesus, to trip him up, put him to death. And so they asked the blind man, who did this to you? Who gave you your sight on the Sabbath? And he says, well, the man they called Jesus. The man they called Jesus, he doesn't, you get the point mm-hmm. there. It's this Jesus, the one they called Jesus, that man they called Jesus out there. And it was a little bit later when Jesus heard that he was being harassed, that Jesus came out later in the evening, and he sought the man out. And it was at that point that he says, you know, basically, do you want to know the Christ? Do you want to know the Messiah? And the man said, who can now see, he says, where is he that I can believe? And he says, well, he who speaks to you, I am he, I am the Christ. And it was at that point that the man had the eyes of his soul opened, right? These eyes of the soul were opened, and he accepted Jesus in faith, and he began to follow the Lord. And so he begins to walk in friendship. I think in the book of Revelation, you know, Jesus, he says, and this could be the case with, I think we all have to be challenged in this, but this was how the Lord admonished the churches, the church, but the church, the seven churches would represent the universal church. the church in Ephesus. I don't remember if it was in Ephesus or what, but he gives all these wonderful things. He said, you're doing all these good things, Jesus said, actually through the angel to John. The message, I think, came through John to the churches. Well, the whole book of Revelation was written. He says, okay, I see that you're doing all these good things, speaking to the people of Ephesus, for instance, or the people of Thessalonica, the people of Sardis. You're doing all these wonderful things, okay? You're taking care of the poor. You're acting in justice. I can't remember about it, but there's a whole litany in the various churches. All these, I see this. I recognize. I acknowledge you're doing all this. But, he says, but this I hold against you. What? Well, but you've lost that love. You've lost the love. You're no longer with me. You're no longer, you know, you're not nurtured. We're not being nurtured in this relationship, mm-hmm. right? It's to come through a prayer, a desire that I want to be in the company of Jesus. I want to walk with the Lord, right? It means every day we have to say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Or also to one of the churches, you know, he says, I'm knocking on the door. You're going to open the door? Because I want to come in and I want to sup with you. Goes back to what we were talking about earlier, right? It's like I want to break bread with you. That's basically what it is. I want to come in to your home and to your heart. I want to break bread with you. I mean, just think, people, as you're listening, because this is a challenge every day, because we're under assault. And so there's all kinds of distractions and diversions and so many things to keep us away from this most wonderful, most beautiful, most mysterious, really, adventurous relationship that we have with God that has to be nurtured in prayer. If we can begin to open that door and allow him to come in and get to know him, come to the realization that he knows us, because there is a point in the journey when you all of a sudden do come to this realization that I'm not alone. God is with me. God is here. God knows me. God knowing me, he loves me because he knows me. He knows me through and through. He knows everything about me. He knows where I've been, what I've done. He knows my idiosyncrasies, my defects, my quirks, my he knows where I've been wounded. He knows my desire. He knows everything. He knows everything. He knows me better than I know myself. And knowing all the, he knows the dark side and the light side. And knowing all of that, he loves me. He knows me, and in knowing me, he loves me. And then also, we come to that realization that all the while, through the whole of my life, he's been serving me. He's been serving me, right? It's in this realization that then we come to know him and to love him and to serve him. As I've said it from time to time, you can't know, you can't love what you don't know or who you don't know. And you don't serve, really, what you don't love or who you don't love. Mm-hmm. And so to know God is to love God. To love God is to serve God. But that has to begin now, you know. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just, you know, just open your heart, open your mind. Say, Jesus, I want this walk with you. I want this relationship. I want to be your friend. Because that's what opens us up to true friendship with others and brings us into, all of a sudden we realize, wow, there is this family, this people. And there's more than what people would want to admit. Anyway, we're out of time. Listen, thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Changed.
shall appear strong, but the inside